नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So last week we completed the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Sararta Varshini. So I'll do a quick recap of the whole chapter, just in case you have missed out on the chapter. I'll do a quick recap of it and then we will have the third chapter hopefully today. So actually, if you see in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna gave various reasons why he would not fight. So Arjuna said, out of compassion, I will not fight. If I fight, then I'll be consumed by sinful reactions. Therefore, I will not fight. If I fight, I'll become the cause of Varna Sankara. There will be destruction of dharmic principles and the dharmic system will be destroyed. Therefore, I will not fight. And if I fight, I will not get enjoyment. So I will not fight. And I am not exactly sure whether it is appropriate for me to fight or inappropriate for me to fight. So like this, various reasons for not fighting. Patiently, Krishna hears all those reasonings. And then Krishna says that, Sanjaya says, and then after seeing all these things, Krishna, you know, puts his, Arjuna puts his Gandiva down and he says, I cannot fight, Krishna. I cannot fight at all. So, Sanjaya says, Tantata Kripaya Vishtam Ashrupna Kulekshanam Vishidantam Midam Vakyam Uvacha Madhusudana. So Sanjaya said that, when Arjuna spoke in this way, with his eyes filled with tears, overcome with compassion, Madhusudan, Krishna is addressed here as Madhusudan because Madhu is the demon, Sudan is the killer of the demon. So very quickly, Krishna is going to destroy the doubts of Arjuna. Therefore, he is addressed here as Madhusudan. So Krishna says, Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupasthitam anarijushtam aswargyam akirtikaram Arjuna. In one verse, in just four small lines, very beautifully Krishna says, Kutastva kashmalam vishame samupasthitam. How has this impurity come upon your heart, O Arjuna? Especially at this time, when right when you are going to fight on the battlefield. First he says, this is anaryajushtam, aswargyam, akirtikaram. You said, this will lead to infamy. Fighting will lead to infamy. But in reality, if you don't fight, it will lead to infamy. And you said that if you fight, you will go to hell and you won't go to Swarga. But this is wrong. Actually, if you don't fight and refuse to do your Kshatriya duty, you will go to hell. You won't get Swarga. And Akirtikaram and Adharma. You said if you kill your relatives, it is Adharmic. No. For a Kshatriya to refuse to fight on a dharmic battlefield is adharmic. So you have got everything wrong, Arjuna. What is dharma? You are thinking as adharma. What is capable of giving you swarga? You are thinking it will not. And what will lead to infamy will what you are thinking will lead to infamy will actually lead to your, it will make you famous actually. Rather, if you refuse to fight, it will lead to infamy. You've got it all wrong. And then he says, Klaibhyam smagama partha naitatpay upapadyate shudram hridayadaujam tyaktvottishta parantapa. You are, my dear Arjuna, you are dressed like a male, but you are acting like a female. Why you are acting like a eunuch? Naitatpay upapadyate, you are world famous as a great warrior. So this does not befit you. This kind of behavior does not befit you, Arjuna. So give up this petty, weak-heartedness, weakness of mind. Shudra daya daurbalyam tattva tishta parantapa. Get up and fight. You are acting like a coward person. So for those of you who joined late, you see, last week we completed the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We are doing a recap of the second chapter before we start the chapter. So as soon as Arjuna hears this, Arjuna defends. Katam bhishmam aham sankye dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyotsyami pujarha varisudana. You think I am not fighting because of cowardice, O Krishna? This Bhishma and Drona who are standing here, they are fit. They are fit to be worshipped by flowers. And you are asking me to injure them and kill the arrows. So therefore, I am not unwilling to fight because of cowardice. I am unwilling to fight because I don't want to breach the etiquette. And not only etiquette, but the worshipable for me, and they are very dear to me. Out of compassion and etiquette, I don't wish to fight with them. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo boktum baikshama pihalo hatvartha kamamst guru nihaiva bunjiya bo rutira pradiktan. So Krishna says, okay, you won't fight. The Kauravas won't give you even one village to rule. So how are you going to maintain yourselves without fighting on the battlefield and claiming your what belongs to you? So Arjuna says, oh, no problem. That's not an issue. Baiksham apiha loke, I will beg and we will and live by Madhukari. No problem. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo boktum baiksham apiha loke. To beg and sustain ourselves is better than actually killing the guru and grandfather. Says, but these people whom you are calling as your guru and grandfather, they are actually arthakamis. They are slaves of wealth. Hatvartha kamams to guru nivheva. Even though they may be arthakamis, but still they are my guru and my grandfather. By killing them, even if I get the kingdom, that kingdom will be tainted with the blood of my grandfather and my guru. So, but it is not appropriate. So I will not kill. Arjuna says. Then he says, so what do you want to do, Arjuna? Are you sure you want to go and beg? Or you want to fight or beg? So he says, Nachaitad vidmaha katarano gariyo yadva jayema yadivano jayeyuhu. Yaneva hatva na jiji vishamas. So he says, you know what, Krishna, even though I seem to speak so confidently, telling that I want to go and beg, but in reality, I'm confused. Nachaitad vidmaha katarano gariyo. I don't know really which is better. Yadva jayema yadivano jayu. Whether conquering them or allow them to conquer me, I don't know what is best. Yaneva hatvan and jiji vishamas. Actually, if I kill the opponent party, if I kill the sons of Dhritarashtra who are actually my cousin brothers, then I should not care to live. Because how can I live happily after killing all my relatives? Te dhartara pramukhe avastha. But still they are standing right here with all intent to fight. So what should I do? I cannot take a decision clearly. So therefore, Arjuna says, Karpanya dosho upahata swabhavaha prachamitvam dharma sammodacheta yachreyasya nishitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. Therefore, my Krishna, I am completely overcome with this weakness. Actually, you are right. I am overcome by weakness of heart. Not only that, dharma sammuda chetaha. My intelligence is not working and I am not able to figure out what is dharma, what is adharma. Therefore, I am asking you, you tell me, what is dharma, what is adharma? Yet shreyastan shat nishchitam bruhitanme. What is best for me to do? You tell me, Krishna. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. I surrender to you as your disciple. Don't consider me as your friend anymore. Consider me as your disciple and please instruct me as to what I should do. So in this way, he surrenders. But Krishna says, oh, you are surrendering to me? But I am your friend, right? Whatever argument I give, you will refute it by giving some other argument. I will quote from Arthashastra, you will quote from Dharma Shastra. Whatever argument you'll give, I give, you're going to refute it. So better, you know what? There is Vyasadeva here and there is Dhaumya and so many exalted sages are there. Why you are asking me to surrender to your friend? I'm your friend. So Arjuna says, no. Nahi prapashyami mamapanudyad yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam riddham vasyam suranam apichadipatyam. Actually, my dear Krishna, I don't see anyone here who is capable of removing my sorrow. And this sorrow is drying up all my senses. Even though there is so much scope for gratification of senses, I don't feel any desire to enjoy. So I am totally suffering. And other than you, I don't see anyone who is capable of removing this sorrow. And even if I attain an unrivaled prosperous kingdom on earth or even on heaven, I don't think I'll be happy. So therefore, you are the only person who is capable of answering my question. You tell me what I should be doing. Nothing is clear to me. So Sanjaya says, Eva muktva rishikesham gudakesha parantapa nayotsyaiti govindam uktva tushnim babuvaha. Therefore, Arjuna says, therefore Arjuna, Krishna, you tell me what I should do. Till then I am not going to fight. And in this way, he puts his Gandiva down and he says, I am not going to fight. Tamuktva rishikesha prahasanniva bharata senayor ubayor madhye vishidantam idam vacha. So Krishna started smiling because till now, Arjuna was seemingly speaking very, very confidently, like a very knowledgeable person. And all of a sudden, he has surrendered, stating, can't do anything. So Arjuna started smiling. Actually, he wanted to laugh out loud. But he understood that if I laugh out loud, it would embarrass Arjuna a lot. So therefore, he tried to suppress that laugh, but he couldn't help but smile, seeing the situation of Krishna. So he spoke to Krishna, he spoke to Arjuna in this way. So Krishna in the next section speaks about the basic problem with Arjuna was Arjuna was speaking on the platform of body without apparent understanding of the difference in body and soul. So therefore, Krishna starts by describing the difference between body and soul. So Krishna says, అశోచ్యానన్వశోచస్త్వం ప్రజ్ఞావాదాంశ్చ భాషసే గతాసున్ అగతాసుంశ్చ నానుశోచంతి పండిత. మై డియర్ అర్జున, యు ఆర్ స్పీకింగ్ వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్, వెరీ కాన్ఫిడెంట్లీ యూఆర్ స్పీకింగ్, బట్ స్టిల్ యూఆర్ లామెంటింగ్ ఫర్ సంథింగ్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ వర్దీ టు లామెంట్. గతాసున్ అగతాసుంశ్చ నాను శోచంతి పండిత. పండిత, ఏ రియలీ నాలెడ్జబుల్ పర్సన్, డస్ నాట్ ల్యామ్ ఫార్ గత అసుహు. గత అసుహు మీన్స్ దట్ ఫ్రమ్ విచ్ ది లైఫ్ ఎయిర్ లీవ్స్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్, దట్ ఫ్రమ్ విచ్ ది ప్రాణ లీవ్స్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్. ద ప్రాణ లీవ్స్ ద గ్రాస్ బాడీ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్. ఆ గత అసుహు మీన్స్ దట్ ఫ్రమ్ విచ్ ది does not leave at the time of death. This is the subtle body. So prana along with the soul carries the subtle body from one gross body to another gross body. Okay. So, and cha indicates the soul. Gatasun agatasya nan shochanti pandita. A wise person, don't you know, Arjuna, does not lament for the loss of gross body. He does not lament for the loss of subtle body. And he does not lament for the loss of soul. Why? Because loss of gross body means, he does lament for loss of gross body because even while living, the gross body is at every moment getting destroyed. At every moment, you know, as they say, every 8 years or so, right, that the cells of someone, that every cell in the body, yes, you know, it's a body every 8 years. They say like that. So, so Krishna says that a wise person does not lament for the loss of gross body because it's not that the gross body is not lost only at the time of, even when the soul is there in that body, the gross body is at every moment getting lost. So it's not lament for the loss of this body. And a wise person does not lament for the loss of subtle body also, because destruction of subtle body means liberation. Destruction of subtle body means liberation. A wise man is happy about liberation. He will not lament liberation. And a wise man does not lament for destruction of soul, because soul can never be destroyed. So what are you lamenting for, Arjuna? Are you lamenting for the gross body? Are you lamenting for the loss of the subtle body? Or are you lamenting for the loss of the soul? That is the question that Krishna is asking Arjuna. So, and then he says, Natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa nasevana bhavishyama sasavevayam mataparam. Let me tell you something, Arjuna. There was never a time when I did not exist. There was never a time when you did not exist. There was never a time when any of these other things did not exist. And there shall never be ever a time when either any of us would cease to exist. Okay. So, meaning the soul is eternal. So, I existed always, you existed always, these kings existed always, and there shall never be a time cease to exist. Okay. So in this way he speaks about the eternality of the soul. And then he says, Dehinosmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir dehantranamuyati. So understand transmigration, Arjuna. When you understand transmigration of the soul from one gross body to the another gross body, this transmigration is not happening only at the time of death. Transmigration is happening every moment. Yata dehinaha asmin kaumaram yavanam jana dehe. Just like he transfers, you know, even while living, the soul moves a kaumara deha to a yavana deha, from yavana deha to a jara deha, to an old body. And in the same way, he moves from an old body to another infant body. That's all. So why should you lament? Dhirastatrana muyati. So Arjuna says, look, you talk about the eternality of the soul. I agree. I am not denying it. And you talk about the transmigration of the soul. Right. I am not denying. I am not telling I am the body. Not telling the soul does not transmigrate. I understand the nature of the gross body. I understand the nature of the subtle body. I understand the nature of the soul. Then Krishna says, then why are you lamenting? He says, look, Krishna, you know, when Bhishma is there in this particular body, the soul of Bhishma is there in this particular body, he has showered me so much affection. Whenever I have a Bhishma, he will start. Whenever I feel some emotional support, I will go and ask Bhishma, he will give me emotional support. Whenever I have some doubts in martial arts, I go and ask Drona, he answers it. But now, after I leave this particular body and go to an infant body, I cannot get any tangible emotional support or emotional satisfaction going to Bhishma Drona. I cannot learn martial arts from that soul which has moved from Drona's body to an infant's body. So therefore, I will feel separation. So I am not lamenting for the loss of the gross body. I am not lamenting for the loss of the subtle body. I am not lamenting for the loss of the soul. But when this particular soul with that particular subtle body is present in this gross body of Bhishma, I get so much joy interacting with that personality. I will no longer be able to interact with that personality. I will feel separation from him. For that, can I lament them? Krishna says, valid point. You can lament. But my answer to this is, tolerate. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukaduktada. Agama apayino anityaha tamstitikshaswa bharata. Actually, Arjuna understand, matra sparshastu kaunteya. The experience of the sense objects, when the sense objects come in touch with, when the senses come in touch with the sense objects, it gives sensations of cold, hot, happiness, distress, and all these kinds of experience. Anityaha. These are always temporary. If you feel sorrow, the sorrow is not going to remain permanently for you. Sorrow is there now. After some time, the sorrow will go away. Even if you don't want to go away, it will not stay. When happiness comes also, it will come, it will stay for a while and go. If you want happiness to stay with you, it will not stay. This is the nature. Many times, we suffer when we don't understand, when we don't see a sense of justice in what is happening. Many times, our suffering is tremendously compounded when we perceive injustice. If we think we have written an excellent paper and we are expecting 100 marks, if we get 70 marks, we are devastated. But a person who has just written his name and submitted the paper is expecting nothing more than 0 marks. When he gets 70 marks, he gets tremendously happy. So 70 marks is incapable of, you cannot say 70 should give joy or distress. It all depends on whether you perceive it as justice or injustice. Whether you are getting more than what you deserve or less than what you deserve. So understand the nature of material world. In this the nature of this material world is that summer comes, if you are troubled by summer, after some time summer will go away. Then winter will come. And winter comes a bit, and if you are troubled by winter, after some time winter nothing stays. So, and nothing stays, and it will not stay because you don't want it, because you want it. And it will come even if you don't want it. So therefore, he says, learn to tolerate. Learn to tolerate. Understand that there is a sense of justice in this material world. Understand the nature of things. Agama, apayino, anityas. They will come, they will go, and they will definitely not stay eternally. Therefore, learn to understanding the nature of things in this material world, learn to tolerate, Arjuna. Learn to tolerate. Make up mind. Understand the inevitability of transmigration of the soul from one body to another. Understand that you cannot eternally stay with any person in this world. Learn to tolerate by understanding the nature of things in this world. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Then Krishna says, Yamhina vyatayantyete purusham purusharishava samadukka sukam dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. If you learn this art of tolerating by learning to see the nature of things of this world, then you become qualified for liberation. If you learn tolerance and if you learn to be equal in happiness and distress in this world, then you become qualified for liberation. Liberation from this material world. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha ubayor api dishvantas taneyos tattva darshidihi. Understand, Arjuna, that there is no permanent existence for this body. Na bhavo. For asataha, for this asat body, there is no permanent existence. Na bhavo vidyate for the sat soul. There is no cessation of existence. At no point, the soul dies. So, tattva darshibihi, one who can see this truth, those who can see this truth, they can see the conclusion about this body and soul very clearly. If you are not a tattvadarshi, you cannot see. But if you are a tattvadarshi, you will be able to see the truth about these truths. Avinashitu tadviddi yena sarvamidam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. Avinashitu tadviddi yena sarvamidam tatam. That soul which pervades through this whole body, understand, Arjuna, that it can never be destroyed. Asya avyayasya vinasham na kaschit kartum arhati. One can never destroy this indestructible soul. Understand this. Then Krishna says, antavanta imeha nityasyoktaha sharirinaha anashino aprameyasya tasmadyudyasva bharata. Antavanta ime deha, this body is temporary. Nityasya uktaha sharirinaha. But the shariri, the soul is eternal. Anashino aprameyasya. And the soul is not just eternal, but it is indestructible and very small. Therefore, you should fight, O Arjuna. Yayenam vetti hantam yaschainam manyate hatam ubautauna vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate. Yaha vetti yenam hantaram. Those who think that the soul kills. You are thinking that you are the killer. If you think that way, yaha manyate enam hatam, and those who think that a soul is killed, that the soul of Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana will be killed. One who thinks in this way, ubhautauna vijanito, they don't really know. Nayam hanti na hanyate, that the soul can never kill and it can never be killed. Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita na bhuyaha. Ajonitya shashvatoyam purano nahanyate hanyamani sharire. Na jayate, there is no birth for the soul. Na mriyate, there is no death for the soul. Na ayam bhutva. And it's not that today souls are never born and never die. There has never been a time when the soul ever took birth. The soul is eternally there. And there will never be a time in the future, or there was never a time in the past, when the soul, when any particular soul got destroyed. Even in merging in the Brahma Jyoti, the soul does not lose its individuality. Okay. So, it has no creation in the past, present or future, and no destruction in the past, present or future. That is the meaning of Ajo, Nityaha, Shashvataha, therefore it is eternal. And Ayam Puranaha, it is most ancient, but it is not subject to aging. Na hanyate hanyama sharire. So basically the six changes which happen in the body, you know, birth, growth, reproduction, dwindling, death, changes which happen to the body, which is inherited by a soul. The soul does not undergo any of these six changes. That is what is described in verse. Veda vinashinam nityam yayenam ajamavyayam katam sapurushapartha kam gatayati hantikam. Arjuna, yaha veda nityam enam avinashinam. He who knows constantly that this soul is indestructible, it is unborn and it is eternal. Kam hanti, katam kam hanti, whom can he kill and how can he kill and how can he cause others to kill and how? Which means you are criticizing, you are lamenting because you don't want to kill. You are criticizing me because I am forcing you to kill. In reality, the soul is eternal. So neither can you be criticized for killing, nor can I be criticized for instigating you to kill. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya navani grinnati naroparani tata sharira vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. Understand, Arjuna, this change of body is just like change of clothes. Just like when an old, when a cloth is old and torn up, you remove it and change a new cloth. You don't lament for that. Similarly, when the body becomes old and invalid, you give up that body and accept a fresh new body. That's all. You should not lament. Nainam chindantrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, nachainam kledayantyapon. Understand that no weapon can cut the soul, fire cannot burn it, water cannot wet it, wind cannot dry it. Achedyoyam adahyoyam akledyo ashoshya evacha nitya sarvagata sthanur achaloyam sanatanah avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate tasmadevam viditvainam nanushochitum arhasi. Soul cannot be cut, it cannot be burned, it cannot be moistened or dried, it is eternal. Sarvagatah, it is traveling in all the bodies and it is stable, it does not change. It is imperceptibly small. But achintyoyam, but inconceivably it is pervading inside the whole body. Even though it is small, but it inconceivably its effect pervades through the whole body. And avikaryoyam uchyate, it does not undergo any changes. Tasmadevam viditvenam nanushochitum arhasi. Therefore, understanding this truth about the soul, you should not lament, Arjuna. Then, in this way, Krishna has till now spoken about the nature of body and soul as described by the proper Vedic conclusions. But there are many pseudo-Vedic, non-Vedic, materialistic conclusions. He says, even if you do not accept the Vedic conclusions, still you have no reason to lament. So, Krishna establishes this to Arjuna by quoting some non-Vedic conclusions. Atachainam nityajatam nityam va manyase mritam tatapitvam mahabaho nainam shochitum arhasi. So, he says, even if you think that the born, and it continually dies. Still, you should not lament. If you think that the soul is born with the body and it dies with the body. So this is the Buddhist philosophy. One of the main sects of Buddhists, they say that they don't deny the soul, but they say that the soul takes birth with the body and it dies with the body. It's not that they reject the soul, but they say, according to them, a soul is almost, just it has the quality similar to the body. It takes birth with the body and it dies with the body. So even you have accept this philosophy of the Buddhists, then still you don't have any reason to lament, because anyway, whether you want or not, it cannot be stopped. It is the nature of the soul to die. Any soul which takes birth will die. So why do you have to lament? And then he says, even if you accept karmavad or karma mimamsa, he quotes this philosophy. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmad apariharyarte natvam shochitam arhasi. Every person who takes birth has to die, and every person who dies has to take birth. This is the nature of, this is the law of nature. Therefore, you should not lament. This is karmavad. Karmavad means what? Everyone is controlled by law of karma. So while living, if person has performed pious activities, he will get a higher birth and enjoy. And after shine punya martalokam vishanti, after his piety is gone, and if he has done impious activities, then he will get another body by in which he will suffer, take animal species, and then finally again, once his papa karma is gone, he will again take birth as a human being and then again perform karma. In this way, whoever takes birth has to die, and whoever dies has to take birth. But the problem with this philosophy is not everyone who dies has to take birth again. Those who have practiced a spiritual path and perfected it, after death they will attain liberation. So this is not right. But Krishna says, even if you accept this philosophy, Krishna, O Arjuna, what is the need to lament? Everyone who takes birth has to die, and everyone who dies has to take birth. So what is the need for lamenting about something, whose control you don't have in your hand? Avyaktadini bhutani tamadhyani bharata avyakta nidananyeva tatraka paridevana. So there is another philosophy which says anything which is non-existent before and after, and it has existence only in the middle, it has no substantial existence. This is one philosophy. Avyakta adini bhutani. Okay. The living entities are invisible in the beginning, before birth or before creation. And after creation of the universe and after creation of their body, they are visible in between. And then at the time of pralaya, they again become invisible. So that which has no existence, no existence after, and has only some existence in between, has in reality no substantial existence. Therefore, for the loss of that soul or body, whatever it is, you should not lament. This is the argument of Krishna. Even though this is not the right philosophy, but he says, even if you subscribe to these kind of deviant philosophies, still you don't have any reason to lament. And then Krishna says, look, the soul is such a entity about which different people have different kinds of opinions. For one bona fide understanding of the soul, there are millions of non-bona fide understanding, because this soul is such a wonderful thing. Therefore, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kachidenam, Ascharyavat Vadati Tataiva Chanyaha, Ascharyavat Chaina Manya Shrunoti, శ్రుత్వాపి ఏనం వేదన చైవ కశ్చిత్. సమ్ పీపుల్ సీ ద సోల్ విత్ అమేజ్మెంట్, సమ్ పీపుల్ స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ద సోల్ విత్ అమేజ్మెంట్, సమ్ పీపుల్ హియర్ అబౌట్ ద సోల్ విత్ అమేజ్మెంట్, అండ్ సమ్ పీపుల్ ఈవెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ హియరింగ్ సీయింగ్ అండ్ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ దే డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్, అండ్ మోస్ట్ పీపుల్ ఫాల్ విత్ ఇన్ దిస్ కేటగిరీ. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ అర్జున్, టు కన్క్లూడ్ దిస్ థియరీ అబౌట్ ద సోల్ అండ్ బాడీ, అండర్స్టాండ్ దేహి నిత్యం అవధ్యోయం దేహే సర్వస్వ భారత తస్మాత్ సర్వాణి భూతాని నత్వం శోచితం అర్హసి. అండర్స్టాండ్ ద సోల్ ఇన్ ది బాడీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ కెన్ నెవర్ బి కిల్డ్, దేర్ ఫోర్ యూ షుడ్ నాట్ లామెంట్ ఫర్ ఎనీ బీయింగ్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే ఫ్రమ్ వర్స్ నంబర్ 11 to 30 కృష్ణ వెరీ సబ్స్టాన్షియల్లీ nature of body and soul and establishes why you know all your lamentation is because you do not understand the nature of body and soul. You are identifying with the body as the self, that's why you are lamenting. So if you understand the nature of the soul, you would not lament Arjuna. This is what Krishna is telling here to Arjuna. So for those of you who joined late, what we are doing here is actually a recap of the second chapter, because last week we completed the second chapter, and before we move on to the third chapter, I wanted to do a quick recap of the second chapter so that you get a overview, because we have had lot of discussions in between. You know, we stopped with many verses and had great discussions. So I'm just zooming down or zooming up, whatever you call it, you know, to give a bird's eye view of the chapter before we move on to the next chapter. So we are zooming out now to get a bird's eye view. Again, when we get into the third chapter, we will zoom in, cover the chapter, and then again zoom out and give a bird's eye view. So that way we keep in touch with the flow of the chapter also. Okay, so then we discussed that, after discussing this, Krishna says another argument that Arjuna gave was, I will not get any enjoyment if I fight and kill like that. He was arguing. So here he says, swadharmam api chaveksha navikampitu marhasi dharmaddi yudhya shreyonya kshatriyasena vidyate. So now I described to you on the basis of body and soul, Arjuna. Now let me tell you, even considering your swadharma, considering your swadharma as a kshatriya, swadharmam api chaveksha navikampitu marhasi, even considering your duties, you should not be happy. You should not be fearful. So he says, dharmadhi yudhyat, fighting for the right cause, there is nothing better for a kshatriya than fighting for the right cause. Dharmadhi yudhyat shreyonyah anyat shreyah kshatriyasena vidyate. So there is nothing greater for a kshatriya than fighting for the right cause. So therefore, you should fight. And then he says that yadrichaya chopapannam swargadwaram apavritam sukina kshatriya partha labante yuddham idrisham. You said you cannot enjoy if you fight and kill them. Is this true? No. He says yadrichaya chopapannam swargadwaram apavritam. So he says, sukina kshatriya partha, happy are those kshatriyas, O Arjuna, labante idrisham yuddham, who attain an opportunity to fight such battles, yadrichaya cha upapannam, which comes on their own accord to them. Such people, such kshatriyas should be very happy and not lamenting like you, because it's swargadwaram apavritam, it opens the doors to heaven. Yeah.
go to heaven.
Even if they die a little late, because of having fought a dharmic battle and gained piety because of performing their prescribed duties, they will go to Swarga. So who said that you will not enjoy, Arjuna? If you fight only, there is enjoyment. If you don't fight, there is no enjoyment. Atachetvam imam dharmyam sangramam nakarishyasi tata swadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsyasi. On the other hand, atachetvam imam dharmyam sangramam nakarishyasi. On the other hand, if you don't fight this dharmic battle, tata swadharmam kirtim cha hitva, you would have given up the swadharma, you would have given up your fame, and you will attain papa for neglecting your prescribed duty. Akirtim chapi bhutani katayishyanti te vyayam sambhavitasya chakirtir maranad tirichyate. And you think you are not fighting because of compassion, but do you know people who look at you, who have seen you defeat all the greatest of the warriors of this material world, still when you refuse to fight, they will not remember. People's memory is very short. They will forget all of that and they will tell you, oh, Arjuna is afraid. He's a coward. Huh? He's afraid. He's running away from battlefield. That's what they'll say. They will not think that you are compassionate. And sambhavitasya cha akirtihi maranadatirichyate. For a person who has achieved so much, on the platform of chivalry, like you, dishonor on that front is worse than death. Baya dranad uparatam mamsinte tvam maharataha yesham chattvam bhutva yasya silagamam. Those very same great warriors who regarded you so highly will now laugh at your cowardice. You may say it's not cowardice, but they will think that it is cowardice and they will laugh at you. They will laugh at you thinking that you have abandoned the battlefield out of fear. Avachya vadamscha bahun vadishyanti tavahitaha nindantas tava samartyam tato dukkataram nukyam. And they will speak such unspeakable words about you, criticize your abilities. And what could be more painful, Arjuna? Do you want to face all that? Atova prapsasi swargam jitvaba bokshase mahim tasmad uttishta kaunteya yuddhaya kritanischay. Therefore, Arjuna, if you fight and win, you will get the kingdom. If you fight and die, you will get swarga. What are you waiting for? Actually, your benefit is there only in fighting. Your happiness is there only in fighting. If you don't fight, you will suffer. So you should get up and fight. But in reality, Arjuna, even though I have told you, hatova prapsasi swargam jitvava bokshase mahim, but in reality, I want you to fight for a higher cause. Sukadukke same kritva labha labho jaya jayo ato yuddhaya yujyasva yanaivam papam avapsasi. Be equipoised in, don't get attached to sukadukka of this material world. Don't try to run away from suffering and don't try to run towards happiness. Don't try to run away from loss and run towards gain. Don't try to run away from defeat and run towards victory. Attached to any of these things. So give up. If only you give up attachment to these material dualities and perform your same prescribed duty with attachment to liberation, you can get liberation. Consider it. So fight not for the lower fruits, but fight for liberation and you can get liberation. So after introducing this in the seed verse, he starts discussing about Nishkama Karma Yoga in this next section. He says, Yesha te bihite sankye buddhi yoget vimam shrinu buddhya yukta yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Till now I have spoken to you from the platform of Sankhya, differentiating between the nature of body and soul. Now I will speak to you about buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means either the process of bhakti or the process of nishkama karma yoga, both fall within the category of buddhi yoga. Now I will speak to you on this platform. Buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. By engaging your intelligence in this yoga, you can easily become free from the bondage of karma. Therefore, I will speak to you about this. He first speaks about bhakti. Neha vikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayad. So he says, in this process, na nashaha asti, there is no loss by stopping without completion. Unlike the process of karma, jnana, yoga, where if you don't complete it, there is no gain, there is nothing that we gain. By not performing karma, you incur sin. But in bhakti, if you stop performing bhakti, it is not sinful. You may, if you stop performing bhakti, you may not progress in bhakti. But if you don't perform bhakti, it is not sinful. And whatever you have completed, it is not lost. Iha abhikrama nashaha asti pratyavayona vidyate. Trayate mahato bayat. One is delivered from birth and death even by practicing a little of this process. One who practices even little bit of this bhakti and leaves it, not except if he leaves it because of offenses. If not for offenses, due to whatever conditioning or anything, if he gives up that process, at least human birth is guaranteed. Because you have to continue the process from where you left off. You cannot continue the process in any other body other than human body. Therefore, a human body is guaranteed. So that transmigration to the lower species is stopped the moment one even starts bhakti and does not continue also. He gets the opportunity next time. Then, Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika bukdir ekeha kurunandana. Bahu shakahi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayina. And trust me, Arjuna, in this process of bhakti, your intelligence will not run in different directions. Unlike karma yoga, which talks about various different goals, or jnana yoga, which may talk about only one goal of liberation. But again, when it comes to sadhana, there is a difference between sadhana and sadhya. So there is no at the state of liberation, which is the sadhya for jnana yoga, there is no engagement of senses. But at the time of sadhana, there is engagement of senses in various activities. So it is quite different. There is sadhya, sadhana, bheda. And within the sadhana also, you have to practice some amount of karma to first purify your heart. And then you have to practice jnana. But just practicing jnana is not sufficient. You also have to practice the element of bhakti. So in this way, there is sadhya, sadhana, abheda. And also, within sadhana, there are multiple sadhanas. So therefore, the intelligence runs in all different directions. So one-pointed intelligence or resolute intelligence is not possible in any other process other than bhakti. And he says in the next verse that Yamimam pushpitam vacham prabadanti avipaschitaha vedavadarata partha nanyadastiti vadinaha. So he says that if you give up this bhakti and accept the path of material karma, it is the unintelligent people pushpitam vacham pravadanti. They are absorbed in discussing the those who are absorbed in discussing the Vedas. They say they propound the theory that matter is everything. There can be nothing greater than matter, and they become attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. And kamatmanah swargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogeshwarya gatim prati. So their heart is so much filled with desire to enjoy in this world and in the next world in swarga. So therefore they are completely absorbed in these karmakandiya rituals, and they to attain the fruits in the form of high birth and all that. But for those people, Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Taya Aparita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Eke Samadhavana Vidhiyate. For those people who are attached to enjoyment and power and whose consciousness is completely deluded by this kind of talk, actually resolute intelligence, resolute intelligence to attain one goal does not come. Therefore, I am telling you, Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshema Matmavan. Therefore, I am telling you, Arjuna, don't get really caught up with these Karmakandiya section of the Vedas, because they talk only about the three gunas. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. Very beautifully, Shri Vishnu Jagadakur explains that this instruction means give up this path of karma and everything and accept only the path of bhakti. That's what he says. Because bhakti is the only process which is beyond the three modes. And in this way, nirdvandvo, become free from dualities, nitya sattvasto, and become situated with the eternal devotees, and give up your desire for gain and preservation. Because Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, I will preserve what you have and I will provide what you lack. So give up that anxiety, give it up to Krishna and just engage your intelligence in performing Bhakti Yoga. And then Krishna says that Yavan artha ishu brahmanasya vijanatah. And even if you may have all the other desires, even if you have other desires, you understand that just by worshipping Krishna, all those desires are fulfilled also. Just like if there are, in a village, there may be four different wells for four different purposes. For washing clothes, one well. After you respond to nature's call, there is another well to wash yourself. Then there is to take bath, there is another well. For drinking water, there is another well. So if you mix one water with another, then it gets contaminated because it's stagnant water. So the purposes of these four different wells are fulfilled by a river. Because a river, by the sheer volume of water, it never gets contaminated. And it's flowing water also, it's not stagnant water. So similarly, if you have the karma well which can give you swarga, you have the jnana well which can give you liberation, you have the yoga well which can give you siddhi. But if you have the river of bhakti, it can give the result of karma, jnana, yoga, etc., all this, and also give you the result of Krishna prema. So, therefore, he says then, but then he tells Arjuna, but I have spoken to you about this path of karma, bhakti, etc., but I am telling you, Arjuna, now, right now, at this point, Karmanyavadikaraste ma phalesu kadachana ma farmakal ma karmaphala hetur ma tesu gosto karmani. Starting from 47th verse onwards, he describes Nishkama Karma Yoga. He says that Arjuna, your qualification is to perform your prescribed duty, Varnashram prescribed duty. Karmanyavadikaraste ma phalesu kadachana, but do not try to enjoy the fruits of your karma. Ma karmaphala hetur bo ma tesu gosto karmani. Do not be the cause of the results of your work. And don't be attached to not doing your work. Because for a Nishkama Karma Yogi, if he are a Sakama Karma Yogi, if he neglects to perform his work, that is also sinful. So therefore, then he says in the next verse, Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhi Asiddhayo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Ucchate. So he says that Yogastha, be situated in this kind of nishkama karma yoga, O Arjuna, and sangam tyaktva karmani kuru, and perform your prescribed duties without any attachment to the fruits, and being thus equal in success and failure, be equal in success and failure, and this equanimity is called yoga. Like that. And then he says, while performing karma yoga, nishkama karma yoga, you should be careful to leave this sakama attached work far behind. You know, you should leave behind this attached work. Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anvicha kripanaha falahetava. So give up this falahetava karma. You should give up this performance of varnashram duties for the purpose of enjoying the material fruits. This is very inferior. This is very inferior, my dear Arjuna. Because when you can get liberation by performing the same duty, why settle for material benefits? Kripanaha falahetava. One who performs this kind of palahetava karma, he is a miser. He is a miser. So then he says, buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita dushkrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushala. He says that, my dear Arjuna, when you engage in this nishkama karma yoga, By engagement in this nishkama karma yoga, you easily give up both pious and impious reactions. So pious and impious reactions both will bind you to this material world. But by engaging in this nishkama karma yoga, you will give up both pious and impious reactions. Therefore, engage in this nishkama karma yoga, and skillful activity is to engage in nishkama karma yoga, because you perform actions but do not get any reactions. And then he says, karmajam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyaktva manishinaha janma bandha vinirmukta padam gacchante namayam. In this way, if you perform nishkama karma yoga, then you will give up the bondage of birth and death, and you will attain liberation. Yadate mohakalinam buddhir vyatitarishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrutavyasya shrutashyacha. When your intelligence has completely renounced the karmakandiya section of these Vedas, and you are not distracted by the promises of swarga and enjoyment in this world, then you are ready for nishkama karma yoga, and you can move ahead and practice for liberation. Shruti vipratipannate idastasthati nishchala samadav achala buddhis tadayogam avapsasi. And he says, and in this way, by practicing nishkama karma yoga, your intelligence is not at all distracted by any things of this world, and it is very fixed in samadhi, then you are a jivan mukta, or you are a state of pragya. So in this way, how by practice of nishkama karma yoga, gradually by purification of heart, how a person moves to become qualified for practicing jnana yoga is described here by Krishna. So he becomes a sthita pragya, he says. At this point of time, Arjuna asks, oh, what are the symptoms of the sthita pragya? Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava sthita dirkim prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. So how does a sthita pragya, what are the symptoms of a sthita pragya? How does a sthita pragya speak, indicating how does he respond to situations of duality? How does he how does he sit? Meaning, how does he how does he not engage his senses when it is not needed? And Vrajeta Kim, how does he engage when it is needed. And then in response to this first, Krishna answers the first question, what are the symptoms of a stitha pragya? Prajahati yadakaman sarvan partha manohatan atmanyevatmana tushta stitha pragya stadochate. Krishna says that, how do you know a stitha pragya? When the stitha pragya has no desires which are born out of the mind, which means no sense gratificatory desires, and if he is completely satisfied by trying to understand and realize the soul, such a person is a stitha pragya. And how does he speak, which means how does he respond to duality? So he says, dukkeshu anudvignamana sukeshu vigata spriha vita raga bayak krodha stitha dir muni ruchate. So he says that such a person is not grieved by dukkeshu anudvignamana. He is not grieved by appearance of suffering. Sukeshu vigata spriha. And when there is an opportunity to enjoy, he does not become very desirous of enjoying it. And he becomes free of attachment, fear and anger. So he is not attached to things of this world. And he is not fearful that those things which he is attached to may be taken away from him. And when it is taken away, he does not become angry. So such a person is asthita dhirmuni or asthita pragya or ajivan mukta. So then further he says, yes, sarvatrana vishneham shubhashubham nabhinandanti nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtita. So such a person has no motivated affections. Oh, you give me, you speak so nicely with me, so I'll be very nice with you. I will love you. You don't speak nicely with me, I hate you. You know, he does not have this kind of motivated affection. He does not rejoice on attaining good fortune, and he does not curse on attaining misfortune. Such a person is sastita pragya. And how does he not engage the senses when it is not needed? Yada samharate chayam kurmongani va sarvashah indriyani indriyartebhya tasya pragya pratishtita. So just like a tortoise retracts its senses whenever inside the shell, whenever a predator comes, in the same way a sthita pragya also, when not needed, he can immediately stop his senses from functioning. He has that capability. Someone may say, what is the big deal? What is the big deal? Even a person who is fasting, he can do that. When he fasts, the prana becomes weak. And when the prana becomes weak, the indriyas become weak. And when the indriyas become weak, they will not pursue the sense objects. What is the big deal? Vishayavini vartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So, and he says that one who refrains from eating, for him the prana becomes weak, and when the prana becomes weak, the senses are not responding to sense objects. So he says, no, but a sthita pragya's case is not like this. He says that param drishtva nivartate. Such a person, because he has developed attachment to the soul, realizing the soul, he has developed the higher taste, and on the strength of that higher taste, he is able to give up this lower taste. So therefore, his refrainment from sense gratification is not temporary. So as soon as that starving person eats, immediately he will progress towards enjoyment, because the desire for enjoyment is not destroyed. So then he says, But this kind of higher taste is not normal. To be a sthitaprajna is not easy. To refrain from engaging the senses from sense gratification is not easy. Yatato hi api kaunteya purushasya vipaschitah indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manah. There may be a wise person who may have theoretical knowledge. Any wise person who has theoretical knowledge and he may endeavor to control his senses, he cannot necessarily, he will not necessarily be able to control his senses. Because that comes through purification of heart and not just knowledge. By knowing that that something is not appropriate for his progress, but the attachment can still be there. Attachment does not go just by knowledge. It needs purification of heart. Therefore, a sthitaprajna is not just knowledgeable, but his heart has become purified by proper practice of sadhana. That is why he is able to say no to sense gratification. And this is not easy. Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparha. Vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. And one of the key elements in the practice of this jnana yogi is matpara. He worships Krishna. He is devoted to Krishna. And that is what helps him restrain all his senses. So, but on the other hand, if one is not matpara, then what happens? Dhyayato vishayan pumsah, sangasteshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate, krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smritivibhrama, smritibhramshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashyati. If one is not actually matpara, if one is not engaged in, if one is not consciously trying to properly practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, purify his heart and come to the stage of Jnana Yoga and also worship Krishna, then what happens? Then even if one of run after a sense object, the senses, the mind sit meditating on that sense object, it starts meditating. Meditation leads to attachment. Attachment leads to kama or deep desire to enjoy it. And in this way, the and kama leads to krodha. And in this way, there are four stages in which the mind surrenders. And once the mind surrenders, then intelligence also surrenders. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibhrama, smriti bhramshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashyati. Sammoha means bewilderment as to what is right and what is wrong. Discrimination is lost. When discrimination is lost, then he forgets as to what did the Shastra say about how I can refrain from sense gratification. All the Shastric injunctions as to how one can protect oneself from sense gratification, that memory is lost. And when that memory is lost, then eventually the determination to say no to sense gratification, that also is lost. So, and when that is lost, then the person is, he cannot escape samsara. Like that. So in this way he talks about in this way he talks about what is that? How a sthitaprajna refrains from engaging his senses in sense objects. But when there is a need to engage the sense objects, engage the senses in sense objects, how does he engage? Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan in Atma Prasadam Adigachati. He says, such a person, because he is freed from raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. So freed from that attachment and aversion, when Asthitapragya engages his senses in the sense of, because even a Jnana Yogi, for survival, he has to eat, he has to do certain things. So there has to be engagement of senses in sense objects. There has to be engagement of senses in sense objects. So for basic survival. But because Asthitapragya is freed from raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion, he engages the senses in the sense objects freed from raga and dvesha. So, and therefore his mind is also perfectly controlled. So when that submissive mind is controlling the senses, and those senses are controlling the sense objects, where the mind is completely freed from raga and dvesha, then that engagement of senses with sense objects for a conditioned soul agitates, whereas for a sthitaprajna, even though he may be engaging his senses with the sense objects, it leads to peace. Prasadam adigacchati. Prasade sarvadukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. Prasanna chetaso hi ashu buddhir paryavatishtate. From this peace arises destruction of all distress. The cause of all distress is the desire to enjoy. So loss of peace is the cause of distress. But for this person, there is no, the peace is there. Therefore, from peace, all distress is destroyed. And quickly the intelligence of this peaceful person becomes fixed. On the other hand, nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha abhavayata shantir ashantasya kutasukam. But on the other hand, for a person whose mind is not yet controlled, who has not reached the stage of sthitaprajna, nasti buddhihi, there is no intelligence which is fixed on the soul, whereas that intelligence is controlled by mind. And neither is his intelligence fixed on the soul, nor is his intelligence fixed on Paramatma. And without meditation on either soul or Paramatma, there can be no peace, and without peace, there can be no bliss. And therefore, for a person, what happens? Indriyanam hicharatam yanmano anuvidhiyate tadasya harati prajnam vayurnavam vivambasi. Therefore, for such a person, instead of soul controlling the intelligence and intelligence controlling the mind and mind controlling the senses and senses controlling the sense objects, rather the sense objects control the senses control the mind controls the intelligence, and the intelligence pulls the soul to hellish suffering. Tasmat, therefore, my dear Arjuna, tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihitani sarvashah indriyan indriyartebhyastasya prajnya pratishtita. Therefore, asthitaprajna is only a person who can perfectly restrict his senses from running after the sense objects. And yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato manehi. So what is night for such a sthitaprajna, which means where the sthitaprajna is completely uninterested, for the rest of the world, that is most, the rest of the world is running after those things, which is material enjoyment, material gratification. Okay. And where the sthitaprajna is most active, the day for the sthitaprajna, where he is most active, most interested, which is self-realization, the whole world is sleeping. So, apuryamanam achalapratishtam samudramapaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti na kama kami. Just like unlimited number of rivers are they may be flowing into the ocean. But still, you never see the ocean, overflow its bank. So it will never, you it it never becomes an ocean, never it's overflowing. So similarly, even though unlimited sense objects may run into the sthita pragya, because he has no desire to enjoy, because he is raga dvesha vimuktaha, there is no raga and dvesha, so therefore any number of sense objects may come, he will accept only those sense objects which are needed for his survival, so that he can perform his sadhana. And so therefore, a sthita pragya is like an ocean. And just like when the rivers during monsoon, when humongous quantities of water from the rivers flow into the ocean, the ocean will not overflow. Similarly, during summer season, when all the rivers may dry, the ocean will not dry. In the same way, unlimited number of sense objects may run into the sense of sthita pragya, or some days no sense object may come. In either ways, the sthita pragya is not at all affected. And finally, he says, Vihaya kaman yasarvan pumams charati nispruhah nirmamo nirahankarah sashanti madigacchati. He, in this way, he who gives up all objects of enjoyment but carries out actions without desire for them, he engages his senses in the sense objects without any ahankar or mamakar, he attains peace and he is a sthita pragya. Therefore, Krishna concludes this chapter by telling, Esha brahmi stititvartha nainam prapya vimukhyati stitvasya mantakalepi brahma nirvanam ruchati. Esha brahmi stitihi. This is the situation of a sthita pragya, my dear Arjuna. Yenam prapya navimukhyati. If a person attains this stage of being a sthita pragya, he shall never be bewildered, and he certainly attains Brahman even at the time of death. Even at the time of death, if he manages to attain this position, he will not be bewildered. While young only. In this way, in a very beautiful way, Krishna concludes this chapter where he speaks. Srila Prabhupada titles this chapter as Contents of the Gita Summarized, because there is a description of Sakama Karma Yoga, there is a description of Nishkama Karma Yoga, there is a description of Jnana Yoga, there is a description of perfection of symptoms of a person who is qualified for Jnana Yoga, everything, and there is a description of Bhakti Yoga. Everything is given, almost the whole of Bhagavad Gita is in a very short glimpse is given in this second chapter. So today's section was dedicated to recapping of this second chapter, which we completed last week. That's why I did not open up the floor for any kind of questions or comments or discussion points, but we still have 4 minutes time. If there are any quick discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. I'm sorry, today was a very boring session. I sort of literally went through the whole chapter without giving any scope for any discussion. I apologize for that. It's not something which I really like to do, but sometimes, you know, at the end of the chapter, we do have to take some time to give a bird's eye view of the whole chapter. That's why I just went in like that. Anyway, but thank you all very much for your patient listening, and I apologize for not allowing any participation. It won't be this way again next Friday. And till then, you please have a wonderful weekend. And we will meet again next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. And okay. Sachi Pran Prabhu is raising his hands. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, the excellent session, Prabhu. I just want to thank you from core of my heart. Very nice reason, because we got the whole second chapter in one shot. You are just listening so carefully. Whatever points, maybe one or two classes we have missed, now whole philosophy. And second chapter is actually the key of all other chapters. If it is a very conceptually clear, then all other chapters become very fast to learn. So thank you so much for revising it. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll meet again next Thursday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Shri Prabhu ki jai.